Oh, Randy, you should stay back up on the stage, too. I mean, you shouldn't be retired.
Yeah, there's one we have 10 minutes.
Hold it. You like my Archie Bunker?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the words of Ronald Reagan. Let us not forget the great words of Sam Adams, who said in 1776 that those who defy Hugh Hamilton, who was part of the original freedom fighters down there, that Hugh and his great, with Sam Adams, as they crossed Delaware, and Hugh said, I'll get right back with you in a moment, along with Paul Di Rienzo, who gave the news of the day.
Listen, Randy, come on. Listen, what we're doing now.
Funny.
All right, come on, man.
Well, can I give you the number for the rally in front of Paul's house?
No, you know what? Let's leave it at that. I'm sure you'll get the word out some other how. But, you know, this is Bob's show.
Randy, Shades of the Tonight Show.
Who's on with you,
by the way?
Who is that?
This is the cucumber. Oh, this is Bill Propp. Hey,
Bill. Hey, Bill. How are you?
All right. I was going to say Shades of the Tonight Show, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I remember the Tonight Show. Remember the Tonight Show? Bill Kunstler used to do my line. You know my line there, Bob? Hello?
Yeah.
Bill Kunstler would do it. He would do my line. He would say, all right, Randy Credico, who was kicked off the Tonight Show, 1984, and I think it was for a very good reason. And then I thought I would be able to do the joke when I got up there, but he would say, this is what he said. He said, when I look at Jean Kirkpatrick and some of the things she says, I have to ask myself seriously, did Eva Braun die in that bunker in 1945? And that's what Mr. Credico said, and he never got back on the show.
Right.
Are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Carson didn't say, hey, that's the kind of stuff we want to do on this show. You know, that's what we want. We can't have that. We want a new and improved, a new Tonight Show without that kind of dissonance.
Speaking of without that kind of dissonance, this is WBAI New York.
Right. Hey, good talking to you guys. I'm going to get some sleep and listen to you on Saturday at 1:30. Although I hear that Hugh's filling in for you on Saturday. Is that true?
I don't know. I cannot comment. No comment on that. Who knows what's going on?
I'm the suicide bomber. I'm taking everyone with me.
you definitely are.
Come on, we're all going down together, okay?
Yes. Ali Akbar.
See you. Goodbye.
And you're on the radio.
And listen, leave that on. That's a lot safer than what we're doing taking phone calls.
Yeah.
We won't get in trouble for that. Right. Leave that on.
Hi, you're on the radio.
The British imperialists will rot in the Balkans. Mark my words, John McDonough.
Hey, we can only hope from your lips to his ears.
But let me tell you something. Why doesn't this station have an international affairs director? Nobody can replace Samori, but, I mean, this is supposed to be alternative news, and it's pretty much mainstream in that sense, in terms of international news reporting.
You've been listening to the national segment, I think.
Where's the international? Get an international feed. Maybe you can have two stations, one like CNN. You know, the best CNN is the one that's on the international feed that we don't see here in this country.
Right. Well, that's more good ideas. And,
all right.
I do.
Just keep listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops. Sorry.
All right. You don't want to do what Bob doesn't
do. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, all these voices in exile, it's so wonderful. I'm another voice in exile, too, because I used to volunteer a lot to come in and answer the phones, but it's like now I couldn't, you know. And the gentleman on Thursday morning was Fielding Dawson.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Fielding Dawson, breaking down the walls.
There you go.
Thanks.
That was it. Speaking of breaking down some walls, I think you're doing just that tonight, which is really fabulous to hear. And I wanted to tell you that, you know, it's like, it was really strange because as Errol, I fell asleep, woke up, and I heard Bernard's voice on the radio, and I thought, wait a minute, is it 6 o'clock? Where is this coming from? Am I dreaming? What, you know? And, well, let's see, Grandpa, John McDonough,
He's not banned.
You know, and I heard there was this really nice little demonstration a few days ago, about 200 people. Am I supposed to mention that? Yeah, but anyway, which I thought was pretty good, too. So, well, keep doing your good work, and, you know, I hope Bob fixes his car and look forward to hearing him next week.
Okay.
And all that.
Yep. Well, thank you. Bob's still got an hour and a half to get here. You know what? Hey, Bob, if you listen, why don't you try calling in? Let us give us an update on your auto troubles.
I don't think he can get through.
And you know what? Maybe we can get you on to NPR, and you can talk to Click and Clack.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And maybe they can fix your car and get you to the studio. I mean, you know, we're becoming like NPR. I might as well have him call over there and get his car fixed.
Oh, that's right. I heard an auto show is taking over Clayton's spot. Is that true?
Listen, we don't know. Al has applied for the job. He wants to repay the favor.
Right. Oh, there
and
you go.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Okay. Have a good night, morning, whatever time it is.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
All right. Take care.
Bye. You know, years ago, there was an auto show on this very station.
Oh, yeah.
It was handled differently from Click and Clack, which I'm not all that familiar with, but it was Sam Jolty. And his theme song every week was Woody Guthrie's Take Me Riding in the Car.
Mm.
And you could call in and get answers.
For auto advice.
Yeah, with no screeners, and there wasn't a need to be, as I hope there isn't now. Let's see. Hi, you're on the radio.
It is Astro Gum Chelsea. How you doing?
Hi.
You know, I think that Grandpa Lou should be put back on the air. He's a great man. And Amy Goodman should be a supporter because she's a great reporter. I think everybody should support her. I think the proof of the pudding is in their work over the years on the air. And also I'd like to say that according to an article that's going to appear in the New York Times tomorrow morning, the tri-state area is up in poverty, so we need poverty programs so people don't starve. There's not a Holocaust in New York City. And I'd like to say also that to our friends down there in Argentina and South America and Asia and Africa, remember, the United States is strong and New York City is strong because we have unions. And not all the unions sold out to the CIA and the government, or the union members didn't at least. So the idea is, in unity and strength, join up and unite, no matter what the cause. And I, to our friends down in South America, I would like to play this song. We remember Argentina in history, the slaughter of union activists and students there, and the mothers standing up tall. And here's a song to the people of Argentina to remember your history.
Not to quit while we're ahead. I can see me many miles away in a field. Sipping cocktails on a terrace, taking breakfast in bed. Sleeping easy, doing crosswords, it's attractive.
I don't think like you. I often get those nightmares. Do they always take some swallowing? Sometimes it's very difficult to keep momentum if it's you that you are following. Don't close doors, keep an escape clause, because we might lose the big apple. But would I have done what I did if I hadn't thought, if I hadn't known we would take the country?
We brought the curtain down on Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, and music and lyrics by Astro over there in Chelsea.
Thank you.
Thank you, Astro.
And you're on the radio.
Good morning. This is Robert Knight. I guess I'm a listener, although I don't listen much.
You're a phone caller now.
Yeah.
don't leave us hanging like that.
And very proud to be on Radio Untamable.
Thank you.
The spirit of Bob Fast permeates the room, and some of the most courageous people still at the station, including you, John McDonough. It's an honor to be with you, and you were funny as hell at Caroline. Nothing but zingers.
Well, listen, everyone seems to enjoy it. We're going to have to play it somewhere, find a space, but it might be kind of difficult to play it on the airwaves here.
Yeah. Well, I called in because I've thoroughly enjoyed all of the discussions, and I wanted to just add to the record a few, I think, salient issues. Number one, with the action of the Pacifica board with the shifting majority, an excellent position has been taken, but we must be careful because our window of victory is very narrow. And indeed, there ought to be an emerging majority on behalf of the listeners and the communities that have been so diminished by this recent regime of management, both at the national and the local level. But we have to be very careful because even as we speak, the majoritarians on the national board are trying once again to repack themselves with corporatists like themselves. On the last edition of Earthwatch, which I did on the 18th of July, I reported the decision of an Alameda County Court judge who disallowed the board from having one of those instant telephone meetings, conference calls, where they tried to pack the board at that time. The judge did not allow them to do that because it violated a stipulation in relation to the various lawsuits that are being filed against Pacifica's actions at this time. What the Mary Berry faction of the board is now doing is trying to do that same thing once again, but now with a 30-day advance notice period. So we have a very narrow window in which we can take advantage of the board's coming to its senses, as it were. And there is a very, I think, serious legal question in front of us as well. As I think Bob Fass would readily confirm, as we learned in 1977 at other times of crisis, one of the primary legal responsibilities of members of the board as holders of the FCC license to broadcast WBAI and the other stations, the board has the responsibility to, I believe the legal term that is used is, exercise control over the operation of the stations. Now, if it is true, if it proves to be true, that the board has explicitly directed the national executive director, the national program director, and the local manager to carry the program, Democracy Now!, even from a remote site because of the hazardous, unsafe, threatening, and intimidating hostile workplace, which, as you know, I can personally confirm, and in coming days we'll have further revelations on that front. If they ordered the program to be carried and these current officials do not comply, that would be an indication that the board does not have control of the operation of its stations. And that means that there would be no alternative for them but to have the immediate termination if indeed there is insubordination taking place on the part of these individuals. If indeed the board has requested the videotapes of the encounter between the manager and Amy Goodman, and we end up with an 18-minute gap after $50,000 worth of equipment, then this is August of 1974. And the only thing that that a cadre of people who, for the most part, seem to be lacking the essential three T's of radio production, that is the talent, the temperament, and the technicals, then the only thing that they can produce with any honor is their resignations.
And?
Just wanted to throw that piece of information in the kettle.
And also, Robert, you were very good at Caroline's, although from a more serious point of view about what was going on.
I'm really sorry I missed this. I have to. Somebody has to bring this back alive on video.
I did present a small sample of some of my reporting from Tulia, which I was very pleased and honored to do. And incidentally, speaking of the board, I did point out that one of the people that the Mary Berry faction of the board wants to pack itself with is a man to whom Mary Berry has made considerable contributions to his political campaign. I'm speaking about Marion Barry, the former mayor of the District of Columbia, or the mayor of the District of Columbia. And I have mixed feelings about the creeping Democratic Partyism that characterizes so much of what's going on now. But in one way, I think it would be a good thing if he came on the board, because I know that if Marion Barry joined the Pacifica board, the first thing he would do is rip out those damn surveillance cameras at WBAI.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
It's always good to hear you, Robert.
Yeah. Well,
hey, Robert.
Hey.
Look who's here. Someone just walked in, Robert.
Oh, fortuitous serendipity.
See that?
Hey, Bob.
Wait, he's trying to get the...
Hey, do I know how to pick a moment or what?
Yeah. He's going to have to tell us his tale of woes.
Yes.
You know, Staten Island really isn't that far away. We can look out the window here.
And you know,
but it seems to be very far for the Cadillac.
Well, I'm going to listen to Radio Untamable.
Welcome to the... Hey, Robert. I miss Grandpa. I heard you guys talking to him.
Yeah.
I heard you, Bernard. I heard everybody.
The whole crew.
Yeah, it's always good to hear. You know, he's almost as old as that Little League pitcher.
Him and his brother.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
Okay, Robert, good to talk to you.
Welcome
for a moment,
to the...
even if it's only for a moment.
Well, listen, this is like WINS, or no, it's 880, and we're now going for a traffic report from Bob Fest. Bob Fest is last seen in a tunnel.
Welcome to the pushed and deformed envelope.
Yes. All right, let's hear.
Well,
where's your note? Where's your note? You're late.
First, it was really wonderful. It was like getting to go to your own funeral to hear all those people calling up and saying nice things about old Bob. It was great. It felt like... But, you know, just the car overheated.
You're right, Charlie.
And it stopped by the side of the road, and I pushed it through the toll booth, and then it stopped. It just died, and I got it up onto the side, and people kept going by me, and finally it cooled off enough so that I ventured another try. I had to go around the block two times to get back and pay another toll, went through the toll, and stopped again. And well, people in car, you know, then for some reason there was no traffic going through the tunnel. I mean,
which tunnel is this then?
The Holland Tunnel, and it was so slow.
Well, at least you won't get a speedy ticket for going through the easy pass.
Everybody was passing me bottles of water. So one guy even passed me a vat of antifreeze. He said, you need to put antifreeze in. You can't just put water in. It's got to be antifreeze, too. 50-50. Well, it was great. I mean, people were smiling and enjoying my plight. And I guess I was the entertainment for the night.
And
although I was listening to you guys, you were really wonderful.
We don't want to upset the apple cart for you by doing. But did the car eventually make it here?
Well, it rolled out of the tunnel and stopped right in front of a police station. And a cop came running out of the station.
So you got out of the car, put your hands behind your back, and
You can't park here. And I said, but... And he began to laugh, and he said, I'm only kidding. He was having a good time, right?
He's getting paid.
Well,
we gave out a description.
He said, turn your lights off. That was a good idea.
I mean, we did America's Most Wanted here. We gave out a description of you, the car, and we predicted either a tunnel or a bridge you would be found.
Well, I got to figure out how to get it home now. That's my problem. Anyway, we're here.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
Just taking phone calls.
Boy, if I could only spend on repairs what they spent on false alarms here this week, let alone false alarms. How about on limousines? If I could get... Or
hotel rooms?
Hotel rooms.
But, first class?
But we should pitch, huh?
I think we're going to be pitched.
It could be, you know.
Or rolled or yawed.
Well, so what should we do for the rest of the morning?
Well, let's take the phone calls.
Okay, good idea. Why don't we take some telephone calls?
Just kidding, but if you...
Good idea.
Sure. Well, there it is. Hey, you want to pick a... Why don't you play roulette? If you'd like to.
Right.
We've already went through Monroe and Astro.
Right. And
Hi, you're on the radio.
Oh, I'm so lucky. Thank you for showing up. I've been worried about you.
Oh, thank you very much.
I expected a yellow cab to pick you up, and take you home with all the cab drivers who listened through the night.
Well, that would be okay.
Yeah, it ought to happen. I had a wonderful time last Tuesday night at the comedy show. It was really delightful. It was wonderful. And I had a chance to talk to so many people and meet so many people, fellow listeners, and it was, the camaraderie was marvelous. Even the long wait outside, it was just a pleasure. And John's girls stole the show.
Yeah, thank you. That's all I've been hearing. Good reports.
Oh, gee, this is wonderful.
It really was. I'd love to hear a tape of it.
Yeah, well, hopefully, maybe at some stage.
Too. Well, there's a little note here in this letter. It says, "Dear Bob, you are a treasure. Your program is keeping hope alive. Please tell listeners what they can do to support you and or encourage you." Well, what I would like is a master mechanic come forward and to put my poor old car back together again. That would be a big help.
It's so sad when a wonderful old car is on its last leg.
Yes.
I've been there many times.
You have?
Yes. I even had one in my driveway for 5 years that I was going to fix. And then I said, I know it's not going to happen. Get rid of it. Squirrels were starting to move into it.
They got to have a home, too.
Yeah, it was sad. But this has been a fun evening, and it has been very nostalgic. And I think that the listeners have gotten to know one another. Bernard said that he's had an opportunity to get to know the listeners, and the listeners have also had an opportunity to network with one another. And it's the process has been terrifying, but good in some ways. And I think we're all gonna come out better for it. And thank you all for being there.
Hey, thank you.
I'll say good night.
You're on the radio. Hello? You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
One more thing. Monroe. If Monroe has access to email, if he could send his phone number to wbaiinexile@yahoo.com, that would be a great thing.
He could get his own program, probably.
No, he
no.
But we could talk to him every now and then.
You need that. And you know what? I hope he would torture Errol. Just call in and torture him.
Well, actually, Errol, this is Errol's request.
Oh, Errol's he is a masochist.
He's been through quite a lot, Errol.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And you're on the radio. Hi.
You know what, guys?
What?
I haven't been listening to BAI very much lately because, like an earlier caller mentioned, the programming seems to be a lot of negative saying and a lot of sort of like promoting themselves. And tonight's show, even without you there, Bob.
Especially without me, you mean?
Was fantastic. It really was. For the first time in a long time, I was listening to the radio. I was listening to the radio in the car. I came in and I turned on the radio. I haven't done that in months.
Oh.
And all I can say is, you know, poor is the person whose pleasures depend on the permission of others.
Wow.
And
let's have that again.
I don't know if I can say it again.
Poor is the person whose pleasures
depend on the permission of others.
Poor is the person whose pleasures depend on the permission of others. And a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still.
Wow.
Amen.
All right.
So keep up the good fight.
Thank you.
And
you keep it up, too.
I appreciate every last one.
And if you know a mechanic, let me know.
Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
I'm picturing you on Saturday with a phony voice calling into NPR, click and clack. It's not me, but my friend has a Cadillac, and there's something going wrong, and they said, this voice sounds familiar. No, it's not my car. It's my friend's car.
You know, when you say Cadillac, you ought to say that it's almost a 20-year-old Cadillac. It's old enough practically to vote. Or at least to be drafted.
I remember when friends in my neighborhood, I grew up in an Italian neighborhood, I used to see them drive in the Cadillac, and we used to call it was a Dadillac. Because it was never their car, it was their father's car.
Dadillac.
You're on the radio.
You just made me laugh about that Dadalac. I was saying, hey, McDonough's funny. I'm listening to Radio Free Air, and the guy don't make me laugh.
There was some serious issues with that. I mean,
well,
at Caroline's, it was you could let it all hang out because it was comedy and, you know.
And before Bob got there, I was going to say, hey, look, I haven't been able to hear your show for a while. I mean, I moved over there. When your guys moved down to Wall Street, I moved around the corner on Broad Street. My life wasn't the same for a long time. I just finally got it together. But, you know, I've been missing Radio Free Aaron. I sort of like, you know, I need to be completely like brought back up to where I was. What was it? 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, this
you
Saturday.
Can do that one of these Saturdays, you know
well,
what I mean?
This Saturday and every Saturday, we're going to be covering on a weekly basis the Turkish hunger strike.
Okay.
And there's going to be major demonstrations Saturday week in all over Europe. And also, Mario Murillo is coming back from Colombia.
Uh-huh.
And he's coming on the show because there's three IRA men that have been arrested, alleged. And they're being held in probably one of the most notorious prisons in Colombia. And Mario will be working with us, keeping updates on what's going on with their plight. So, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff on our plate that's going on.
I
got
to get back in with you. Tell me just one thing, though. What's your opinion about Jerry Adams? How do you feel about the guy?
I don't agree with the direction he's going. I just wish he would just complete the trip and leave the dissidents alone within the Republican movement, because there's a lot of stuff going on with the silencing of people in Belfast, the, you know,
you think he's playing politics?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's over. He went constitutional. I mean, it's all over. It's just I wish he would get there a little bit quicker than playing the game that he's still a hardliner and he's still got a private army behind him, because he's using it to keep down dissent within the Republican movement. And the sooner he goes completely constitutional, the better.
Okay, great. Hey, Bob, stay on the air. Don't let these clowns get you knocked off. Stay on the air. Okay, we need you there. You know, some people are saying, they listen to VAI. Yeah, I used to listen to a 24-hour day, and now, you know, I got, you know, certain shows I listen to. They seem to all be at night. I got to wake up early in the morning. Got to be up in a couple of hours. And I'm listening to all these night shows. Not on Wednesday anymore. But you know what I'm saying. We need you, okay? Stay there.
Thank you.
And your 20-year-old Cadillac, man, the thing is brand new. I got a 2000 Escalade. Uh-huh. Right.
Uh-huh.
Under a thousand miles. New transmission.
Who fixes it for you?
The Potemkin. Unfortunately, the same place I bought it from.
Hey,
under a thousand miles, the transmission's gone, burning up. You know, it didn't work. You know what I'm saying? It took the car for a month. And that's under a thousand miles. That's 50,000 out of my. You know what I'm saying? But nothing. Come on, the horn wouldn't work. You got a 20-year-old car? Well, mine's under 2 or 3 months. The horn wouldn't work and wouldn't work for months. Those people tell me it's fine. You know, you need a horn to prevent an accident. Well, it's died a million times. Finally, they fixed it. Uh-huh. Finally, they fixed this. Finally, they fixed that. Bob, you're lucky. At least it paid off. You don't have to be paying bills.
Yeah,
and you're paying them, too.
You should have seen how lucky I felt sitting in the middle of the Holland Tunnel.
And it happens. What did you want? I mean, with all the money you're saving, you should have been able to, you know, a cell phone, come and pick me up, take this thing off to, you know, the repair shop.
That was the first Davis trip. That was the first Davis trip, entering the Holland Tunnel. Then the second,
well, you know, Saturday, listen to WNCA in the morning, 7 to 9. Those guys really know, okay? You want to fix your car? Let those guys, you know, listen to them. And they got places in your neighborhood, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Saturday, you know WNCA, the good guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, listen to them. You know, that's the auto show, and when you listen to them, you'll be saying, hey, that listener knew something.
I remember Dan Ingram.
Yeah, it's not Click and Clack. Look, I just get Click and Clack in the AAA magazine. Come on. You want jokes? You want jokes or you want your car fixed? You know, these guys got a network all over the place. They get your car fixed, they get it fixed right, and they keep on working. You know, I send people over there, even have my own Escalade checked out. You know, I'm sitting on thing under warranty. Four years, I'm there in a couple of months. All right, so do that. You know, your car will be fixed. WMCA, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. morning. You can call up. You can ask them. They'll tell you, bring it in. And but, you know, when you're listening to them, you say, hey, wait, you're a radio guy. You'll listen to them. You say, hey, this guy was on the money. You know, you will bring it in. And, you know, your car will be working for the rest of who knows how long. See you later.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Sounds good.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
You're on the radio.
I really didn't expect to get through to speak to Bob Fast this morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to hear you. You know, I fell asleep and woke up at 1:15 to the sounds of Monroe, and I didn't hear Bob Fast, and I kept thinking, what? Tell me, it's not true, my love, that Bob is not going to be there, but you are. And I wanted to tell the fellows that were talking, Bill Propp and Radio Free Air, and I don't remember
his
your name.
His name is not Radio Free Air. John McDonough.
John McDonough. I wanted to say
Cassie
that if Bob Fast had received the money that is due him all these years for his radio program on WBAI,
I'd own Potemkin Cadillac.
He would have had a new Cadillac, and he wouldn't have had to push it through the tunnel and sweat and tears and blood this morning. But so we know what you're worth, Bob, and we hope that one day you will see the pot of gold at the end of that rainbow.
At the end of the Holland Tunnel.
At the end of the Holland Tunnel. And you know, you played Paul Robeson singing that wonderful song.
Joke.
And you didn't mention that it was Paul Robeson, and I suppose that everybody who listens to Bob Fast knew that.
No. I heard him say Paul Robeson.
Yeah, and Kevin Barry. We played
but
that.
I wanted to acknowledge the fact that I was weeping tears just listening to it. Mm. It was so poignant and so beautiful. Your people that called in tonight, hearing the people who I've loved through the years calling in, it was really very touching, and I miss them very much. I think probably the top of the cake, of the icing on the cake, would have been if Amy Goodman had been able to call, and maybe she still will, because all those voices together made a wonderful multicultural nation again out of WBAI, and I miss it, and I hope it comes back soon. And Bob, darling, stay well. And keep on trucking.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Okay.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
This is David O with the New York City chapter of the Community-Based Organization Network Resource Association Mobilization Coalition, and I wanted to thank you on behalf of the network.
That's a mouthful.
That's
say it again. So we'll know.
What is
you
that?
Want the acronym or
yeah? What is the what is the acronym?
Well, you know, guys, I've been on the sidewalk doing the old vigil beat, you know, and we've been having a real fun time in the midst of serious discussions, what you call your sidewalk meeting escapades, and. We feel that we're on the verge. We're on the verge, and just want to thank you for the courage and the integrity and the beauty and the truth. So, thank you so much. And Bob, let me ask you, Bob, when and where did radio the phrase radio unnameable? When did that first appear?
When I first began to do the program, I was reading Beckett.
Beckett.
And a great novel of his is The Unnameable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also I didn't want the program to be categorized and told that I had to play jazz or I had to play folk or I had to play some, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So,
it reminds me of Lao Tzu, who says the Tao that can be named is not the great Tao. Thank you so much.
Thank Tao. Thank you very much. Bye. You're on the radio.
Claire's a conflict.
Welcome back.
Sounds like he's a little overheated, too. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Lotus Radio, hang on.
Lotus Radio and Dow Radio. You did say Lotus.
Yeah, hello.
Did you say Lotus Radio?
Lower the radio. Oh. Yeah, pull out your thermostat.
Uh-huh.
Until it gets cold.
I can't.
Put one in there. Flush your radiator.
Yeah.
All right. And
how would you like to take it over? You seem to know.
I was throwing around all
these technical terms like radiator and thermostat. You must know your stuff.
Get a book. It's easy. It's really simple to pull out your thermostat. Just pull out your. All you gotta do is, or you, if you want, I tell you a good mechanic that knows all about those old cars.
Sure.
All right, he's at 829 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, Atlantic between Clinton and Vanderbilt.
Uh-huh.
He loves those old cars.
Yeah, right,
that's his expertise is on. As a matter of fact, I think he's got a Caddy that vintage.
Uh-huh.
But I myself was driving around with a '65 Chevy up until a few years ago. It was still running. Required a tremendous amount of work, but it still ran. Everything was worn, and everything ran, and it passed inspection, and it was, if I still owned it, it would probably still be driving. But, no, it was a mess. But, it ran, didn't overheat, you know, or anything like that. You know, it was just everything was worn, the interior, the body, you know, blah, blah, blah. As I say, you can simply pull out the thermostat and flush the radiator.
How soon can you get here?
You make it home. When you get home, you know, it's very easy to do, to pull out the thermostat and then just put the gasket back in place, get another gasket, put it on there, and put some sealant around the neck of the radiator hose, and then flush your radiator and run, just throw in... Just run straight antifreeze. It doesn't boil up that easy. It doesn't boil over. Okay? It's a high boiling point. So, and it should
all
be fine.
All these guys lying in their beds calling a radio
program. No, but in the meantime, they really, the station, they really need to pull, they really need to bring back the band and the fire. It's ridiculous. I mean, my God, you know, the station is... They've lost the edge without the main body of people there that were doing this good work. I mean,
what did you think of Grandpa's suggestion that he sub for Clayton?
As a matter of fact, you know, you mention it. I don't want to disparage anyone. It was interesting that last Friday, a few weeks ago, on... what's his name? The guy who does the Friday afternoon program.
Earl Caldwell.
Earl Caldwell substituted for Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
And the nature and tone of the program was completely different. The callers, you know, there was no antagonism. The way he handled Monroe, okay, I mean, just, and that was it. That was it. There's no antagonism or hostility. He ran his program, and that was it. This guy gets on the air, and there's all this hostility and nastiness. And that becomes the focus of all these programs, is hostility and nastiness. But rather than dealing with the issues, global, national, local. And as, you know, as an important alternative media outlet. That's what the station is, and it becomes the focus of internal strife and hostility and nastiness, and there are very many important issues going on out there that, you know, that we depend on I depend on this station to, you know, as another alternative, you know, voice out there and on the radio. There isn't any. That's it. This is it. And now it is it's in bad shape. And they need to bring back the people who they're professionals at this. This is what they do. That's their raison d'etre. I mean, that's it.
Huh. Who can argue with that? All right, thank you.
All right, well, Bob, you take care, man. Get home safe.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, have a good night.
Thanks. You're on the radio.
Yeah, Bob, how you doing?
Okay, I'm a little shaken, but...
Well, listen, let me explain this to you. I got two things to say, and one is about your that great car you got, that Cadillac.
Yeah.
Listen, man, if you're a Cadillac man, you're all right, baby. And you're always going to be able to get some help, because everybody love a Cadillac, and everybody love a Cadillac man. Cadillacs never die, they just fade away. Okay, so yours has got a long way to go.
I don't know, man, this is fading, now, it's fading fast.
Listen, what is it, a 70-something Caddy?
Oh, 86.
Oh, man, you got a brand new car.
Man, or maybe you want to 86 it.
Man, that's a brand new Cadillac. I don't know what you're talking about. It got another 15 years to go.
Well, who's going to come over and get it started and get it going again?
Where is Sam Jolte now that we need him?
Yeah, well, listen, I got to get to the other point because this is some serious stuff I got to tell you about.
This is good stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, you would think that Florida disenfranchisement could never happen in New York. But up in the Bronx, on the political scene, you got a lady who was the district leader for 10 years. And when it came time for her to run for council person, you know, like coming up the ranks, all of a sudden, the party didn't want to back her after she had been so faithful and diligent. And then when she went out and got signatures, they come up and say, you know, you only need 900. And she got 1,200. And they come up and say, well, these names are invalid. 500 of them. So the only way to prove the validity, because actually the antiquated system that they have to count voters and say, well, who's registered and who isn't, would take you about 6 months, you know, to really do the thorough research. Yeah. One person.
Who was she? What
yeah.
was her name?
Barbara Jones. In the 18th district. So what she had to do is, she had an alternative when they invalidated her name, you know. She could go to court, get a lawyer, get dates set, and get each one of those 500 people that they invalidated to come to court and swear that they signed.
Who are the people who appointed these elections officials? Who do they owe their political...
Only God and the devil know. But now, check this out. In spite of that, she's still running, but she's doing this, and I know all the listeners need to hear this. Because, see, people think that, well, you know, they put them clowns up there on the ballot. What are we going to do? We don't have no choice. You can write in the candidate of your choice when you go to the polls. It's in the procedures. If you're fortunate enough to receive a voting guide, on page 13, they tell you how to do it, how to go about it. And if people, and check this out, Barbara Jones lives in the district that she's still running. She lives in the district. Everybody else, they may have an address that they use there, but you'll never see them in any of the stores shopping regularly. 6 months from now, you can't find five clerks anywhere in the whole 18th district in any store who say, well, yeah, I see him regularly. He comes in here and he, you know, gets his toothpaste.
What part of the Bronx is that?
That's the Parkchester section. And believe me, I'm not going to hash over the old scandal, you know, about the last councilmanic person up there. But it's really something, you know, somebody represents a district, but they live in Westchester. You know? So I think that's enough said about that. But the lady, she's trying to really do it, and she needs help. And I'm saying this so people can hear this, and they can take this number down, 718-823-2880. I believe that's the number. Let me get my Cadillac glasses and see. You know, you put your Cadillac glasses on, you ready to see anything. Yeah. That's 823-2880. Barbara Jones. And she needs all the help she can get. But we need to make history up there in the Bronx, because it's just a terrible thing when the machinery does a Florida thing. You know, people walking down the street and they sign a petition for somebody to be, to get a chance to run. And then they say, well, these people, we can't find them. And I give you an example. One person moved from 2050 to 2070. And another one moved from 2070 to 2050. And they said, well, they're not registered. They didn't give a change of address. What kind of system are we up under? And on another note, for us to consider our politicians, I want somebody who's going to run, who's going to say, well, if I don't do this, I'll resign or I'll quit. I'm going to get this one thing done. And if I don't get it done, I'm going to quit. Now, I'm not talking about get basketballs for all the schools. You know what I'm saying? Something serious. Just get on the platform and say something, because all of these jokers is really disgusting me. But if I didn't know that the system can work, if the people would work the system, I'd be opting out too. I hear some people say, what am I going to vote for? And so they make me think maybe we need to repeal the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Act if they're not going to use it.
I have a vague recollection of sometime in the past when Paul Krasner said that he was going to run for some particular office.
President?
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what it was.
He ran for president.
He said, these are the things that I'm going to do whether or not I'm elected.
Mm-hmm.
He said somebody like Rockefeller, who was also a candidate at the time, he could say the same thing, only he could really do some big. He could build roads, he could mm-hmm. build hospitals, he could do a lot of stuff, you know,
yeah.
whether or not he was elected. That's the kind of promise that we want from a politician.
Yeah, and you know what?
What they're going to do whether or not they're elected.
And you know what?
Somebody like Bloomberg, I mean, if he spent the money that he's spending on those TV ads on improving the quality of life in the city, he could...
Everybody would have a chicken in their pot.
At least.
Yeah, yeah, but Bob, just think about this for
thinking,
a second.
I'm thinking.
And one of the things Barbara Jones said, she said, anybody on the Board of Election, I mean, in the Board of Education, who has anything to do with children should be a parent or a grandparent or a caregiver, so they're really involved. And their children should be attending the schools or one of the public schools they're talking about. Does that make sense?
Too much sense.
Yeah, that's why good-minded people should get behind it and let all the rabble-rousers just go on their way. You know, people like to get up for photo ops and everything. But I'm telling you, the lady, you know, she's on the money. And things like this, you know, they really get to you. And I think it's time that good people like us spoke up a little more, you know, and really pumped up the volume where these issues are concerned. Because it's serious. This political thing is serious. They have the ability to represent you. They don't need to be getting a job and moving away. As a matter of fact, if you want policemen to be a residence, why not politicians? Why can't you see the mayor coming out of his house in not a hoity-toity district, but just, you know, hey, oh, that's the mayor.
That's because his wife won't let him.
Oh, you, which one? And not that I have anything against having more than one wife, but I mean it should just be done proper. Hello?
I'm listening, but I'm afraid my wife might be listening. I'm not going to comment.
Okay. Well, we understand that. But still and all, you know what I mean? Especially if you're going to be up there, you might as well be up front and open, you know? You don't want to be having dirty little secrets like that. But I want to hear politicians say, I'm going to do this, and if I don't get this accomplished, I'll resign. You know, get a school built, get a road or something, just something, and stick to his word. I haven't heard anybody in there talking about being mayor saying, well, what the real issues are. You know, none of the real issues. The cost of living. Why do they have to think, who got this formula that says, you got to give 30% of your income for your rent? Is that what the landlords pay? Huh? Do the landlords pay 30% of their income for their rent? What about this other scandal? I'm going to speak about it, too, so people need to keep speaking about it. A person can be hooked up in the shelter system or the homeless system, you know, and they get a hotel room. $1,000, $1,500 a week. And it's not even a room with a bathroom right. or a sink.
Somebody's making a lot of money on those hotel rooms.
But listen, none of the guys that's running a speak on that, $2,500, $3,500 they pay when they put one of those people in an apartment a month. not an 8-bedroom apartment, one or two bedrooms, mainly one. Now,
and that's driving up the cost of real estate. And driving up rents.
Yeah, and all these years, and I'm talking about from Beam, from Lindsay to Beam to Koch to Dinkins to Mussolini, Giuliani. All of these hotels have been running. These rooms, this scammed in SRO stuff, they've been getting $1,000 a week, $1,200, $1,500 a week. And we got homeless people. People can't get a job. They pay that much. They pay a home mortgage rental by the week to these mysterious landlords and keep these people downtrodden and spend $50,000, $60,000, $75,000 a year to keep a person in a room. Hell, you could get that person that money and say, get out the state. Don't come back no more. Or you could get 20 of those people and build them an apartment building. What is going on? Why don't these people talk about these things? Why don't they talk about traffic tickets? The way they do that, bring the tickets down. Stop people from being harassed. Man, it's garbage. What's going on? We not saying nothing in the right places. We talking late at night. We should be talking in the daytime. What's going on?
What's your name, man?
Thabit Edeen.
Thabit?
Yep.
Edeen. I hope you call again.
Oh, listen, Bob.
Yeah.
Listening to you during a very wonderful but dangerous and dark period of my life really brought me through. And I've called before, but I just didn't get a roll going like I got going now, you know? But I'll be calling back, you know? I like you. You know, you're enlightening and intelligent and wonderful to talk to, and sometimes you even listen like you're doing now, and I feel honored that I could say something and you would listen to it, man.
Same here.
You know,
I feel the same way about you.
Oh man, well, we've made it. We've made it. So God willing, we'll meet back here at the same water hole on a different date.
All right.
Different time and better spirits.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, my God, I got through. I've been on the phone waiting for this guy to finish, but he made so much sense. What he said was true. I'm from the Bronx, too. But you got to understand, these politicians try to do it. But when it gets up there, they just, like, forget it. It's too hard. People all lie. People say different things, but I just want to say one thing to Bob.
Uh-oh.
What kind of memories does this Cadillac have for 20 years?
I didn't have it for 20 years.
How long did you have it for?
I've had about 5 years.
Like 20 years old?
Well, not 86, 96, 97, 98, 99. Well.
So can you give me a story about the Cadillac?
A story.
Yeah. What kind of memories would it save?
I remember the time I got stopped in the middle of the Holland Tunnel.
Oh, my God. That's a Sunday car. That's the kind of car you drive on Sunday just to drive around. Not every day. So give me a story about it.
Well, you got it. I just got stopped. I stopped inside the Holland Tunnel. I came out and the cop said, "You can't park there." And then he laughed.
I think she's looking for more of a backseat story.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm getting
I'm
that drift.
I'm
going to
spice it up.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well,
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Uh-huh.
What was the time you were driving and you said the steering wheel came off in your hand? Is that car?
What was the reason? Oh, my God. No. That's dangerous. No.
He's still in the front seat. He's no, got to get him to the back seat.
Didn't happen.
And his foot was on the brake. And he started speeding.
Well, actually, my feet were out the rear window.
Oh, my God. See, that's a story you could tell. Don't get rid of that car. Definitely not.
All
right. But seriously speaking, this is the first time I ever heard this station, and I just wanted to listen.
Really?
And get on radio. Yeah, definitely. It's the first time.
Really?
But,
well, we've been here for a long time.
But I'm just getting...
Where have you been?
In La La Land.
Yeah, well, welcome back.
Thank you. But you sound like, Bob sounds like Rodney Dangerfield. That's who I thought it was at first.
Well, it's true he doesn't get any respect, but.
No, he sounds like a nice guy. But I like the Cadillac. Is it pink?
No, it's white with a black top.
Ooh. Oh, my God. What color is the interior?
Baby blue.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Is it still in good condition?
Okay. You want to buy it?
Well, I don't know how to drive.
Uh-huh.
I have a license, but
I'm afraid
to drive.
Well, that's the perfect car for you.
It's not going anywhere.
It doesn't know how to move.
It doesn't know how to move?
Yeah.
You got to get it back into shape.
Yes, I do.
Just work on it.
Okay.
Is that the only car you have?
Absolutely the only one.
I suggest you get a limo going and coming.
Oh, that would be great.
It should have had a limo for you.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, I just think I'd call you guys, and what that guy from Parkchester was saying made a lot of sense.
Yes, and you're in that district, huh?
Yes, I am. But I don't tend to get involved. Like he said, a lot of people just tend to let things go and just look the other way. But if everybody sticks together, we can do something different. And everybody's getting a chance. This world is changing. The politicians, they all stay the same. But if everybody sticks together and start helping one another, like the shelter people, the people that are in shelters, if they were to get a building and have them live there, they would never leave. That's why they keep them in a shelter. They would stay there and just feel comfortable and not make any changes at all. So I disagree with that part, but they should have something different to get these people outgoing and just working out there instead of building new buildings in Manhattan and making, you know, something beautiful here and there, because Manhattan is already beautiful, you know. But the Bronx is building up just like Brooklyn. Brooklyn is getting beautiful as well. It's a mixed culture here. Everybody's mixed, and that's what I love in a community.
You're beautiful.
How you know? I am.
I just don't like what you said.
Deep down inside, I am beautiful. I try to be beautiful. I try to be loving and happy, but it comes naturally. But sometimes people do tend to, like, try to kill that. But you never let nobody kill your spirit. What's within yourself comes from your heart, and nobody could change that, even though they try and sometimes you feel down. But you get back up and you just continue.
What's your name?
Venus.
Dina.
Venus, like the planet.
Venus.
Yes.
Like the tennis
goddess
player.
Of love.
The goddess of love. I'm supposed to go to work tomorrow, and I'm up. I'm just relaxing because, I don't know, I just want to listen to music and talk to somebody. I'm tired of talking to my friends.
Look, why don't you take the day off tomorrow?
I can't.
I know how hard you work.
I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I guess I'll work for the rest of my life.
Oh.
But you just got to keep working and you succeed. Those people that made it up there, like the Parkchester guy said, they make it and they just keep going. Because those people work hard. No, it doesn't matter what kind of race you are, they work hard. Some races do have it bad, but if you are smart and you're open-minded, you can succeed. You just got to know how to play the game because life is a game. And you guys are really cool because you let people just talk and you listen. You really don't have any kind of comment, like, you know, pros or cons or anything. You're just like Switzerland. You're neutral. So I can see. But you mentioned something about Staten Island. Are you guys from Staten Island?
Well, that's where I'm staying.
It's beautiful. I lived out there for 11 years.
Yeah?
It's so nice. It's just that ferry boat. It takes so long to get across. It's like a half an hour away. But it's beautiful. Once you get on that boat, it's like you feel like you're going to another island.
They're spraying there tonight, aren't they?
It's raining?
Spraying. They're spraying for that mosquito.
Oh, they're doing that over there? They already did that out here.
Yeah, they're doing it all over. It's a big mistake.
I thought that was over.
Big mistake.
Why is it a big mistake?
Because the number of people last year who even got like something like a cold from the mosquito, like a little sniffle from the mosquito, is not nearly as high as the number of people who were injured and had asthma and breathing diseases and sore throats and bad eyes and spray.
But those things are curable. They're thinking about killing these little insects. That's something we can't control.
But what about the lobsters that they're killing? And what about the fish that are floating on top of the ponds?
Well, it's either the humans or the animals.
Yeah, but see, you're taking...
I'm being selfish because...
You're taking the word of Neil Cohn and Rudolph Giuliani that these mosquitoes are a terrible danger. The truth is that the people... Suppose you were a mosquito.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a mosquito, you need a warm-blooded animal...